The common market was an extraordinarily ambitious and indeed revolutionary idea. Europe was going to move toward an integrated market, to move to coordinate economies, to create a genuine European economic community. Great Britain, at this point, chose to stay outside, initially thinking that it would join the Six with the Treaty of Rome. It had been reluctant. There were questions about what to do with the Commonwealth, whether Britain wanted to commit itself. It would be a real break with British policy to commit itself to some sort of European organization such as this. And so Great Britain did not enter the common market in 57, did not sign the Treaty of Rome. Several years later, in 1963, Britain decided indeed that it would apply for membership, only to discover that its application for membership in the common market was blocked by none other than its old wartime ally Charles de Gaulle and France. Indeed, in 1963 and 67, de Gaulle would block British applications for entry into the common market. Part of this, I think, is the residue of old wartime resentments. De Gaulle, who had never recovered from his sense of being snubbed by the British and the Americans during the Second World War, de Gaulle had his vision of Europe, which he put forward in this period as a Europe from the Channel, from the North Sea to the Urals, including Eastern Europe and Russia, but notably leaving the British outside. In 1967, the European Economic Community, the European Atomic Energy Community, the European Coal and Steel Community merged to create the European Community more generally. And in 73, the EC expanded, finally admitting Britain, at last extending membership to this most historically important state. Ireland and Denmark also joined in 1973, Greece in 81, Portugal and Spain in 86. There's nothing very exciting, you know, when thinks of ways of talking about the evolution of European economic cooperation and and integration of Europe after the Second World War, one goes through the sort of alphabet soup of these different organizations, the EEC, the EU, the Coal and Steel Community, and so forth. It is not the stuff of which drama is made, but it is, these represent the sinews of a growing organism of European cooperation of extraordinary importance for Europe and indeed all of the West and the world. In 1992, the Treaty of Maastricht was signed by members of the European Community. The treaty hoped to create a European economic area that would remove the barriers to the movements of goods, people, and capital across national frontiers, making it no longer necessary to have a passport to move from one country to another, to find employment laws coordinated, conditions of labor, basic civil rights would be European rights as opposed simply to economic rights or national rights. It hoped to lay the foundations for the introduction of a common currency, a common European currency that would relegate the pound sterling or the German mark, the Italian lira, the French franc, and so on, to the dustbin of history. And in 1993, the EC was replaced by the European Union, reflecting the hopes of Europeans, that they could create not only a common currency and economic policy, but also political and military union. I think as one examines the development of these institutions, really from the late 40s into the 1990s, as I said, this is not the stuff of drama. This is not dramatic pronouncements, not the movement of armies, not the tennis court oath or the Bill of the Rights of Man and the Citizen, Declaration of the Rights of Man and the Citizen. But these organizations, these initiatives taken by the Western European states in the aftermath of the Second World War reflect a profoundly significant attempt to overcome the nationalism that had sent European states to war with one another through the 19th and into the 20th century, to chart a revolutionary new course, a course that was not based on the nation state, but on this new sort of federation of European states, a European community, which would overcome these age-old conflicts that had bedeviled Europeans, particularly in the 19th and 20th centuries.